Yeah, Clinton, we should do end off with 20 minutes of Mark Derry. Can you post that? Do you have it handy?
Sure. I think I've got it. Do we remember what the title was again for next week?
Something about the QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman. Yeah, here it is. I found it. Okay, there it is. A close reading of the QAnon shaman's conspiracy manifesto. Where did we leave off here?
Mummifisto.
Did we, Chansley connects the dots between the Freemasons, Illuminati, Yale, Secret Skull and Bones. I don't remember running through that list. All right, Jeffrey Dahmer, we didn't do that. So let's start there. Because I left it. I actually have it here on my board, on my bar. And I have it left, sat there all week at where we left off. So we did Frank Mintz. Remember the conspiracy story? Ism?
Yep, remember that. Okay.
It's the meta-narrative suspicious minds use to make sense of the world. And a significant part of that sense-making consists of sleuthing out the connections between seemingly unrelated things. I don't think we got to say all this topic, so here we go. Well, shall I wait for Greg for a minute?
Yep, okay, let's recap. This is remind us who Mark Derry is in 30 words or less, Bob.
Mark Derry was a pretty successful culture critic in the 90s, and he became a professor and disappeared into academia, as far as I know. And then he recently did a book on Edward Gorey, the New Yorker cartoonist. I think he's a New Yorker guy. And then just very recently he interviewed Grail Marcus, the rock critic, in lieu of Lester Bangs not being around anymore. And so Mark Derry brings his academic personality to the phenomenon of January 6th and the so-called riots, the dangerous riots and threats on everything that was done by the Antifa. What are they called? Antifa. Antifa?
Antifa.
Yeah, there's a lot of footage now, documentaries on showing there was a split scene at the Capitol building. On one side were like a million people. The Trumpers had just been with him at the White House, and they're all praying and singing and laughing and having a good time. On the other side of the Capitol building are the FBI and agent provocateurs stirring up whoever was there, and the media focused on the riot side of the Capitol building, not the peaceful side.
Well, yeah, that's what makes it so, that's what makes the whole framing of it in the media so extremely circumspect so that everyone can freak out about it, right? And it's like 99% peaceful rally of people singing the Star Spangled Banner and praying and shit, and then this tiny little thing is blown up and it becomes the most horrible thing ever, and then people will contrast that with CNN standing in front of a burning building, like a fiery but mostly peaceful protest.
Well,
Antifa's are right, and like people are moving out of the cities in droves because they're terrified for their lives and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's no big deal. No big deal. These ongoing, week-long, month-long,
guttings. That's what democracy looks like.
Yeah, exactly. That's people's right to stand up and challenge the system, and we have to support it. Yes, you know.
Stand up for power.
It's just private property, man. Come on, what do you care? It's just private property. It's just things people spend money on. Like, you know, fuck it.
It's just hardware. We're
defending property. We're here defending lives, and you're complaining about the loss of property. So, like, that's where the debate is right now, and it's so amazingly one-sided that, again, like I said, the only answer is that the Android meme can't gather self-reflection. There's no capacity for the Android meme to have self-reflection and see how absurd it looks. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Which is why everything I'm saying is probably making people who's listening to me right now hate my fucking guts and want to call me a Nazi if they disagree with what I just said, right? It's like, I can't help that. I don't even know how to fucking talk in a transcendent form, not in a way which undercuts tension about these topics, and I guess that's why I like to study McLuhan, because he would have talked about this in terms that nobody could even fucking like wrap their mind around the first time they heard them, let alone act right. disgusted by or insulted by or you know, so. Bob, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, McLuhan said about Watergate, it was a battle between print and electric media or television over the advertising dollar. Watergate, a battle between print and television versus television for or over the advertising dollar. Wow, that's quite a abstract interpretation of the loss of our rights and Nixon spying and everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, never mind that, who cares? It's like, the question is, like, who's going to be bringing, when something like this happens, who's going to be bringing it to you? Are you going to be reading it in the newspaper? Are you going to be watching it on TV?
Right. One interesting thing about the fellow I was talking to at the bar last night is he kept standing for, which I mean like being a fan of Henry Kissinger. Like, you know, he's really trying to make things better, and he's even willing to be the bad guy. Because, you know, someone has to try and see the complexities of things and actually make these geopolitical decisions, and right? You know, he's actually, right? And I was like, yeah, when I think of Henry Kissinger, I just immediately default in my mind to interpreting the world through Dr. Strangelove. He's like, yes, exactly, Dr. Strangelove. And I'm like, well, okay, right? But someone has to, right? And I was like, it was really weird.
Hey, listen, I posted, look at, you know, Mike Nesmith, the Monkees died last week. Look at him and Zappa on the Monkees I posted on my Facebook page. It's pretty good interaction that they did on the TV show. Okay, so we want to do this stuff before we disappear. Also, there's a recent statement by Pelosi. She's talking to somebody, and I think it's recent. She's worse than Biden. She can't organize her syllables into coherency. And she's trying to explain something. I'll have to find out where it was, and I'll post it. I have to post more stuff on my Facebook page because I'm only allowed to do one a day on Adam's page. Okay, so close reading. So I'll go through what's connected. So Mark Derry says, Chansley, that's QAnon shaman, Chansley connects the dots between the Freemasons, the Illuminati, Yale's Secretive Skull and Bone Society, MKUltra, in brackets the CIA's notorious experiment in better brainwashing through LSD, Nikola Tesla, reptilians from the Draco star system, the artificial monolith found on Mars' moon Phobos, in brackets on loan from Stanley Kubrick's 2001, the horrors of fluoridation, the depravity of the royal family, Jeffrey Epstein, Jeffrey Dahmer, the performance artist Marina Abramovic's, quote, spirit cooking event based on Aleister Crowley magic, which Hillary Clinton attended, we're told, and where, quote, semen, breast milk, and blood were on the menu. The scattered points coalesce, as they always do, into a constellation, and that constellation is, quote, the deep state takeover of our nation through corrupt laws and the government's misuse of force, unquote.
Well, I'll jump in right now to clarify one particular point, which, I mean, the whole thing is the menu, which had on it spelled out of semen, breast milk, and blood for spirit cooking, was written on the walls in pig's blood on a concrete wall in a basement somewhere by Marina Abramovic, and that was the performative art. It was a performative art piece where she's writing the instructions of a ritual involving those things on a wall in blood, right? On a VHS tape. Clearly
not on the menu.
The menu is literally a fucking menu, like written on the wall. Like she's writing the words, semen, breast milk, blood, and she's instructions, right? Cut deeply into the forefinger of your left hand and eat the pain was one of them, I think, if I can quote that right from memory, right?
Yeah.
She's writing the instructions, like it's like she's writing the recipe for spirit cooking in with jugs and jugs and jugs, multiple ones full of like already congealing lumpy blood, right? So anyway, and then later on when Podesta's emails got leaked, there was references to spirit cooking. Like, oh yeah, we're going with spirit cooking with Marina Abramovic, right? So it's like, so that's the only actual public-facing evidence from which this would be put together that I'm aware of, right?
Right.
So,
and
so
it's not
here,
presented well.
Well, no, it's not presented well because Derry doesn't know that. He doesn't know where the fuck Chansley's getting this from. He's just paraphrasing Chansley,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So what I would go through is I'd point out the quadrophenia here, the four quadrants. The Freemasons, Illuminati, and Yale Secret Skull and Bones, that's the LaRouche quadrant. And maybe even MKUltra. But then it says it's better brainwashing through LSD. So that's the McLuhan quadrant. McLuhan dealing with the experimental 60s versus the uptight 50s. And LSD was the symbol, and he had to deal with many students on LSD or taking it. So that's the McLuhan quadrant. Nikola Tesla, that would be the Thompson quadrant, weird fringe technologies. And the reptilians from the Draco star system is the Thompson quadrant, because that deals with outer space. The artificial monolith found on moon, that'd be the Thompson quadrant. The horrors of fluoridation would be the LaRouche quadrant, the chemical body aspect, pollution. The depravity of the royal family, that would be probably the LaRouche quadrant. Jeffrey Epstein and Jeffrey Dahmer, they'd be the Croker quadrant. They're more modern, crazy elitists. Or, yeah, elitists, people who are running multi-sensuous perversity that you didn't have in the 50s.
And Epstein wanted to be immortal, right?
Yeah, wanted to be immortal.
Very transhuman and shit, right?
He himself is slightly quadrophenic. He was into the Thompson Quadrant. They tried to discover Atlantis. They were doing all he wanted to make his sperm become a genetic father of kids, a new higher race of children. So he was quadrophenic, approaching it all over the place in every kind of quadrant in society. So that's Croker. Croker, he's tactilely squared. I have on the chart. The performance artist, that's Croker. Aleister Crowley would be Thompson. Hillary Clinton, maybe the LaRouche quadrant. McLuhan quadrant, she's in all the quadrants. Remember, she brought Jean Houston, the psychic, to the White House. So that's Thompson quadrant. Then the deep state takeover of our nation through corrupt laws and the government's misuse of force, that's the McLuhan quadrant. That's the effects of the satellite, the solar government. The deep state takeover of our nation and all nations. You remember McLuhan in 71 wrote this essay, the hijacking of cities, nations, and planets. So this constellation that QAnon Shaman is starting to intuit is limited, but I would say what he's really noticing is the programming of the planet on the solar government level. That's the deep state takeover of our nation and every other nation through corrupt laws and the government's misuse of force. Corrupt laws because the solar government is not following national laws. They're international. They're not subject to each nation that supposedly they get their funding from. And then the government's misuse of force is the programming of people through tetrad management. And it's a violent act because they're not really studying the effects of these coordinated analog media environments with the people in mind. They're just trying to keep the circulation of capital going. So it looks quite rough. Okay? So I think that's a better analysis of Chansley expressing the popular level of quadrophenia. They're encyclopedic, these people, because they can with the internet.
Right, they can, yeah.
They can get all kinds of stuff. So then Mark says, what I wasn't prepared for was just how closely one mind at a time. That's the manuscript that we just quoted all the connections he's making as the content of it. But he's saying how closely one mind at a time harmonizes with the worldviews of public figures like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the environmental activist cum anti-vaxxer, Naomi Wolf, the feminist pundit turned COVID truther, and Mark Crispin Miller, the NYU professor of media studies, who ran afoul of his colleagues for what they allege is his espousal of non-evidence-based conspiracy theories, including the belief that cell phones cause cancer and the moon landing was fake. And most controversially, his promotion of anti-mask, anti-vaccine misinformation in the middle of a pandemic. So his calling someone a COVID truther, that's Mark's talent for coming up with modern phrases, a COVID truther. And Mark Christopher Miller is demonstrating a kind of quadrophenia. He's doing the top down the rouge. He's doing the environmental allergies of the Thompson quadrant. Moon landing was fake. That's McLuhan quadrant. And then the promotion of anti-mask, anti-vaccine, that's Kroger quadrant. Because remember, Kroger is talking his stuff in the 90s and 2000s in the middle of a global pandemic that obliterated surplus flesh. Right? So the bleaker scenario is the Kroger quadrant. What were you going to say?
And Miller, Miller he reaches that quadrophenia topic by just, he's got this kind of media literacy angle where he basically, he's like, I've been doing this for a long time. This is what I do here. I teach my students how to be skeptical of this narrative.
Right.
And how to be skeptical of it. So it's just a list of narratives that he has found over time merit skepticism. And funny enough, since I forget when it was that Barry wrote this or published it, but
you're a little muffled. Then, say that last sentence again.
I don't remember when it was that Barry published it, but funny enough that since then.
What did he publish?
It doesn't matter.
What did he publish?
Sorry, never mind. Just the
Culture Jamming? That's 93. Culture Jamming is 93.
No, the thing we're reading about the QAnon shaman in November. Just since Mark Barry said this stuff about Mark Crispin Miller and him coming under fire from his colleagues, like, well, funny update, after a very long process where I'm sure there was a very fine-tooth comb applied, his employer found nothing wrong in his conduct. So now Mark Crispin Miller is suing his colleagues who initiated this complaint process for what was determined to be no reason.
That's right.
Cool. So the whole framing that Mark Barry is relying on is very much, it kind of, you can just tell by the tone, he's just a sort of assuming that these colleagues have good reason to be complaining about their colleague Mark Crispin Miller. I mean, listen to the things he's teaching. Listen to the things he's saying. Like, well, it's so funny that the school found nothing wrong with what he did. Like, maybe they are misframing what he's saying. Maybe you are contributing to their misframing, Mark Barry. Like, maybe you don't know what you're talking about.
Right? Funny
you're
how
just slandering someone.
Funny how the jury found Mark Rittenhouse innocent, and funny how the jury found Jesse Smollett guilty. That's insane, right? Like, all of these things.
Yeah, you got Smollett guilty, Rittenhouse is real, and QAnon is guilty. There must be a quadrophenia in that. Justin Small is fake news. That's the McLuhan quadrant. Rittenhouse is paranoid LaRouche quadrant.
So can we call it and say that Derry is trying to shore up the ruin of his Fatic communion and ruin his commune?
Yeah. In academia.
Yeah.
He's trying to hoik up visual space and perspective and detachment with a Manipian irony, which he's good at.
Yeah. Well, some agreed-upon out-group target.
Yeah, you could say the art quadrant.
For pillorying, even if you're... And who are, it's like everyone will
everyone will forgive you for bending the truth a little bit when you're
talking about it. Yes, because it's better to be clear-headed.
R.F.A. Jr. and Mike Crispin Miller.
Yeah.
It's better to be clear-headed by the concept of the central and serious experience of our time than it is
that's
to be drunken and with the rotting variety and riches of the world and full of conspiracy
knowledge. That's QAnon. He's swallowing, swimming around in the rotting corpses of every meme about. And Derry's trying to remain clear-headed and calm.
Yes, everyone trying to remain clear-headed and calm and rational is setting themselves up for the most torturous, extracted, painful. This is something forced ascension was a phrase you were using a few years ago a lot more often, right? Or ascension by default.
Yes.
Right? Like, listen, you're gonna have to, you know, come to sooner or later. Either you swim against the stream, you swim against the stream of your mass inertia and get yourself out now, or you drift with the rest of, you know, the TV cable newspaper reading audience, towards the ever narrowing fucking gates of, you see what I'm saying? Towards Silicon and Caribbean.
No, but well said. By the way, he's quoting, McLuhan there from the 40s. That's when Mark hears this.
Too bad fiction, too bad fiction falls so short of reality. Or else all these people still reading fiction would already know what they needed to do right now. And reality wouldn't be so fucking weird they can't even handle it. But, what it is.
Don't bother questioning authorities.